Today we're going to talk about dancing with wolves. Many of you remember the movie Dances with Wolves that came out back in 1990 with Kevin Costner. It was a story about a Union lieutenant who was out on the western frontier. And he came in contact with the Sioux tribe of the Indians. And he began to identify with them and become their friend. We know that he falls in love with one of their women. He hunts buffalo with them, and as a result, he becomes a full-blown member of the Sioux tribe. This instantly makes him a traitor in the eyes of his own people. And now he must make a decision as to who he wants to be with, his own people or with the Sioux Indians. Now, our lesson this morning is not about the movie Dances with Wolves, but I am going to talk about wolves today. I have named the sermon this title because our Lord had a name for those who would lead us astray. He called them wolves. There are several passages that bear this out. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. For inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits." And then in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus is here sending out the 12 on what we know as the limited commission. And he says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." And he made a similar statement in Luke chapter 10 and verse 3 as he sends others out. He says, "Go your way, and behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves." The Apostle Paul also warns the Ephesian elders of the danger of wolves and their fold. We read of this in Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 28. "Therefore take heed to yourselves, all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves." So here we see the expression given to us, wolves in sheep's clothing. And this is what happens when these false teachers disguise themselves. They want to fit in. They want to be numbered in among the saints. But their reason for that is to spread discord. We need to beware of them. They are wolves. They look innocent enough, but they have a way of destroying the flock of God's people. Therefore, you and I today who sit here as sheep in the fold of God, we need to beware of these creatures. And we need to be willing to warn each other and look out for each other in the event that one rears his ugly head. If there is a wolf in our midst, we need to announce it to everyone, that they may know that this person is up to no good. We don't need to sit idly by with our souls in danger. Well, this raises the question, how do you identify a wolf? Well, I'm sure that everyone in this room knows the story of Little Red Riding Hood. My friends, that's how you define a wolf. Oh my, what big eyes you have. What big ears you have. What big teeth you have. Just as Little Red Riding Hood used these terms to describe who she thought might be grandma turned out to be a wolf. And that's exactly how we describe and find about a wolf. You look at the characteristics that you see. The big eyes, the big nose, the big ears, the big teeth. You see, Satan will use physical things to attack you with. We can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and we can read every account where Satan has tempted mankind. He has always done so with physical things. And there's a reason for that. It's all that he has. Even in Matthew chapter 4, when he tempts Jesus, the Son of God, he realized, I'm not going to get him with spiritual temptations. This is the Son of God. So he tempts him with food. He tempts him with power. And he tempts him with wealth. Physical things. Eve, it was a simple thing like an apple. With us, it's the wanting and desire of the greatest and the best in life. All of Satan's fruit is physical. And that's how we identify him, by his fruits. Oh, they may appear to be beautiful. They may appear to be doing a good thing, but looks can be deceiving. And while we are just absorbing all of this so-called goodness from him, he is doing so much damage to our soul, and we may not even be aware of it. And not realize what is happening to us. Paul gives us some advice in this. Ephesians 5, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And yes, my friends, it can happen even within the church, and Paul warns us about this as well in Romans chapter 16, verse 17, beginning. I urge you, brethren, take note of those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who do such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. By smooth words and flattering speech, deceive the hearts of the simple. We need to turn to the Word of God. We need to use it as our standard so that we can have salvation ourselves and so we can ward off the temptations of one who is trying to take us from God. The Bible teaches us how to achieve salvation. The Bible also teaches us how to identify the false teacher. And when we learn the truth, we also know what error is in the process. And we should expose those who teach error. Also, we are to have no fellowship with the error of sin. We identify them, we expose them, we give them no aid, we give them no help, we show them no partiality, because, again, they are wolves. Remember what James says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. And my friends, if we see a brother in Christ, teaching something that is wrong, even if it is a small, insignificant thing, we expose it. And we try to change him. And we do not fellowship him. Instead of dancing with these wolves, we should be exposing them for what they really are: false teachers. What is the motive of the wolf? Well, the answer is simple. To gain the love, the praise, and the preeminence of men. They are looking to take you away from God because they want your attention. They want you to look to them. They want you to listen to them. They want you to love them and walk away from God. All wolves. Perhaps the greatest example of this is the Pharisees. Jesus brings this out about them in John chapter 12 and verse 43. He says, they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Paul warned of three such people in his writings. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 20, he warns us about Hymenaeus and Alexandra, who had blasphemed God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 17 and 18, along with Hymenaeus, Paul mentions Philetus, who denies the resurrection of our Lord. And John warns us of men such as Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence of the people. They want your attention. They want you to listen and love them and not turn to God. My friends, they're all wolves. And when you think about that, Paul asked this question. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And you know, in a roundabout way, Paul is telling us this is our choice. We either please God or we please the wolves. Now let's ask this question. What happens when a wolf is exposed? When you bring someone out for what they really are and what they're really trying to do, how do you deal with that? How do they react when you find them out? You know, since our Lord described these individuals as being wolves, think about just for a minute what it would be like to trap a real wolf. Now, we've probably all seen them in zoos. I doubt that we've seen them out in the wild. Some of you may have. Some of our hunters may have. But have you ever had an opportunity to corner a wild animal and see how they react? You know, I found out that one of the angriest animals to get trapped in a corner of all things is a possum. When Pat and I were living in Alabama, I don't know if Philip was born, Mandy was, we decided to build a privacy fence in our backyard. And we had it about half built, and in one corner inside my privacy fence, I was building a little section to put our trash cans. Well, lo and behold, here comes a possum waddling in our backyard, and he works his way into that corner. And I saw him there, and I knew he was up to no good. So I go out there, and I'm armed with the wife's broom, and I'm going to run him off. But you know what I found out? They don't always run. And boy, let me tell you, they got a set of teeth on them that could probably tear a leg off. And that's exactly what he let me know. He didn't play possum like possums are supposed to do. Instead, he backed into that corner and he showed those pearly teeth to me, and I went in the house. And I thought to myself, well, if I stay in here long enough, he'll find his way out. And he did. But he was vicious. Don't mess with a vicious possum unless you have a gun. That's different. But I didn't want to hold him under fence. You know that you've made a really big mistake when a wild animal responds like that. Even small animals can become vicious when they're backed into a corner. And they will use every tool available to protect themselves. This is also true of the spiritual wolf. These people will try to hide their false doctrine as much as possible, but it eventually comes out. And when it does, they become very defensive, and they will use any means at their disposal to protect themselves. And they too can bite and claw and accuse and challenge everything that comes at them. And the unfortunate thing about that is that as those who expose the false teachers can also get hurt as well. My friends, another thing we need to understand about them is that we need to get away from them. We need to get them out of the fold. We don't need to be a part of them. We must withdraw from them. Separate ourselves from them. Just like me and my friend in the backyard, I got away from him. We have to get away from the false teacher. You know, God will hold us accountable for keeping company with the wild sheep, with the wild wolves. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. They're digressive. They're liberal. They're sinning. They're false. They're no longer faithful brethren. And we have to deal with them as such. And if we accept any part of their teaching, then we have accepted the lie that they give along with the truth that God gives. And we will have to go one way or the other. In fact, John tells us, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him in your house. Do not give him a greeting. For the one who gives him a greeting participates in his evil deeds. And we have to be aware that these false teachers can come from within. They don't always come from without. The scriptures tell us, Paul, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2, but the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith. You know, he's talking about you and me here. We're all of the faith, aren't we? There are going to be times when people of the faith is going to fall away. He's talking about you and me. And they will pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a hot iron. And they're going to turn away from God. And they're going to try to turn you away from God. And we must also be aware that there are thousands of them, perhaps even millions of them, that are out in the world today among us, coming at us with their falsehoods. Some of them are easily identified. Some of them are disguised well, and they know how to deceive us. You know, Paul, he gives us quite a list of these people. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 1, he says, but realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, unreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And then he finally says, avoid such men as these. Quite a list. Expose them. Teach them if you can. But then avoid them. The final point that I want to mention this morning is really the saddest point of all. It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. Listen to the scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Peter in 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. He's talking to you and me here. He's not just talking to the people he's writing to of the day, but he's talking to us as well. Now, you have to ask the question, why will it get worse? Well, several reasons. It will get worse because of ignorance on the part of the people of God. And again, this is you and me. It happened in the days of the Old Testament. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge," the Lord said, "I will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children." It will get worse because people will not love the truth. They will love lies. Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning with verse 10, "And with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of truth so as to be saved. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." It will get worse because people will get teachers to tell them things that they want to hear instead of the truth that comes from God. Again, the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want any part of the truth. Peter says many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. You look at all of this, my friends, all wolves. Wolves at work. My friends, we need to be aware and sound out a warning in the brotherhood that there are false teachers among us. And it may be friends that we have known for years, but now have denied the truth and now have denied Christ. And my friends, we must expose this. Now we need to lovingly teach them of their error. Try to get them to walk away from it and come back to the Lord. And if they changed, then we have saved a soul from death. But if they refuse to change, avoid them. Don't dance with them. They're wolves. Today, my friend, if you are not a Christian, you're living in a pack of wolves. Worldliness is a wolf. False doctrine is a wolf. You're living in a world of wolves. But you can walk out of that world today by giving your life to the Lord. If you are a Christian, and you find that you have danced with the wolves of sin, you can get out of that. You can walk away from that. And you can come back to your Lord and live for Him once again. Don't dance with the wolves. Expose them. Avoid them. And keep your life right with God. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation of Jesus, please come while we stand and sing.